Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the 2019 Home Education Conference, held in Williamsburg, Virginia.
Good morning. Buenos dias. Buongiorno. Bonjour. How many different languages? Everybody speak a second language? Check it out. That is awesome. A third language? Yeah. What languages? Spanish? Nice. Italian? A couple Italians. French? J'aime le français. Chinese? Oh, we can't do this. We'll go through all the languages. So that's awesome. What?
Thai.
Thai? Nice. Very cool. All right, you guys, good morning. Beautiful people. Thanks for being here. Thanks for your dedication to come to conferences like this, to be engaged, to want to learn and improve and make the most of yourself. So my wife and I, here's a quick picture for those of you who haven't been in one of my classes yet. This is a picture we recently had done in Mexico. Rachel and I, we've been married 18 years. We have 7 kiddos, and we crazy love to travel around the world. That's our thing. Just the experiences and memories you have. How many have been out of the country? Check it out. Wow, how many of you are military? Okay, big group. That's a lot of traveling. That's awesome. Right? Getting out of the country and having new experiences? Amazing. It's transformational. We love that stuff, and I get to do it. So we've just wandered all over the earth. We've been, for 12 years, just been traveling with our kids. We started when we had 4 kiddos. And we're just out seeking the coolest experiences around the world and just having transformational, just creating memories. That's kind of been our thing. We're just like, we collect memories, right? You go around collecting memories and experiences, had a wonderful time. But today, my friends, we're talking about transcending addiction and distraction as a family. Holy guacamole. I've been thinking about this for months. This is a tough subject, okay? So we're going to try to have fun today. But we're going to get serious, too. Is that okay?
Yeah.
May I have your permission to be very frank today?
Yes.
Okay. I know you guys have been stressing about this like all night, all this morning. I know I'm going to say things that aren't popular. But I got to say them. And we got to be frank, right? We're skirting around these problems, and it's a huge, huge problem in our world. And we talk about it, and we're like, let's do better. And the problem persists. And so at some point, we got to draw the proverbial line in the sand and say, it stops right here. And today, we're going to do that, okay? So it's going to get heavy. I'll try to keep it light, but there's going to be some movement. We good? Everybody in? Okay, let's do this thing. I love this word, transcend. The word transcend means to move beyond the limits of. And isn't addiction a limiting thing? Isn't distraction like living in a cage? Right? It's preventing us and stopping us. So let's dive right in. What are the most common addictions and distractions in our culture right now? And most particularly, we can go there, but let's get really personal. What are the greatest dangers facing your family right now? Let's go raise hands to it, because it'll just be overwhelming.
Pornography.
Okay, we're going to go there big time today. Others? Electronics and screen time. Like, who loves technology? Yeah. And screens. Yeah. Who's addicted? Come on. Let's have it out, right? So it's a wonderful thing. Technology is so awesome, you guys, but it is so addicting. It really is. And we are hardwired for this kind of stuff, okay? I won't get into a lot of brain science because you guys will like glaze over, but what happens is we get these little teeny hits. Our brain lays these little neural connections, and it gives us these little hits, and so we get a little chemical in our body. Your body's just this walking pharmacy, right? And so you hear a little ding and a little alert, and you're like, ooh. And you like, can't even resist not looking. You're in a meeting, and beep, you're like, oh. Right? And we get these hits, and we get it again and again and again, and we're scrolling, and we get likes on our Instagram or on our Facebook, and we're like, oh, it makes me feel so good and important, right? And we're hardwired for it. And so then it gets in this pattern, and it turns into an addiction. So even something that's really good, like technology, I love it, and I think it needs to be an integral part of our lives, but it's controlling our lives. And our poor children, most of us in this room saw the change, right? Remember when you were a teen? And like the first cell phones were coming out? this is awesome, and they dropped every call, right? And big hunky computers, now our children don't know any different. Like from a get-go, my little teeny ones are like just pushing buttons, like disabling our phones, and like, but they're on it. They don't know any different. Okay, they're in that. All right, what other things are facing? What are we hitting right now?
Lack of being deliberate.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of floundering, right? A lot of directionless. I see tons of that all over the earth. There's just this lack of being really intentional and deliberate about life. Other problems?
I'm gonna love you if I don't stand up for my own beliefs.
There's some really unique and different cultural things happening alongside of the addictions and the distractions problems. There's some crazy cultural stuff happening. And that's influencing it as well, isn't it?
Everything.
Anybody seeing that?
Yeah.
Entitlement problems? Any of you suffering from it?
Yeah.
You guys, we're going to be honest in this room here, okay? Like one of you is like, we all have entitlement problems. Like, what's funny is you get out and travel, especially, and you get into developing countries or different experiences, and you find yourself mentally like, this shouldn't be happening. Like, I shouldn't be having this inconvenience. And when I catch myself doing it, I'm like, what am I talking about? Life. Like, I don't have these rules, but you're right, there's entitlement is spreading everywhere. A couple more.
Self-deceit.
Guilty? Anyone? Yeah. You guys got to raise your hands more. Hey, let's practice. Everyone raise your hands. There we go. All right, let's get those things loose because we're going to be doing it today. We're going to be admitting to our weaknesses. How many of you have weaknesses? How many of you have insecurities? How many of you have problems in your life? Only half the room. Come on, you're killing me here. Couple more. Okay, the lack of a willingness to work hard. That missing? Woo! We're gonna talk about that today.
So that was related to my.
Okay, mental illness. Okay, I've had my pulse, you guys. I've had my pulse. I've been, so I got in. How many were not in here yesterday? Okay, there's enough of you. Like, so I grew up in a broken home. My parents were divorced young, multiple stepdads. It was a mess at home. I left home at 16. I was on my own. Okay, survival mode. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that today. Literally survival mode, just desperate and hungry to learn the keys to happiness and success. And so at 16 years old, I got voracious about learning and reading and studying, and I got into personal development. So since 16, I've had my fingers on the pulse of personal development and growth and youth and helping, and I've been mentoring and coaching all over the world. Five continents is this stuff. I see this happening, and that is happening a lot. And mental illnesses and mental weakness, just mindset problems, anxiety is just off the charts in the last 7-8 years. And other problems and just mindset problems. And I've been working with youth all this time, and then all of a sudden I just see this spike. Boom. Okay, and it's there. It's a growing problem. We've got to get serious about it. Okay? Well, let's do one more. Emotional eating. Okay? Huge. Well, and not just eating, food is just one thing people turn to. Okay? When we're struggling emotionally, food is just one thing. How many of you love food? How many of you turn to food for some kind of emotional response? Stress, fear, depression,
happiness,
food happiness. How many of you suffer from food happiness? Oh, yeah. Right? How many of you suffer especially in Paris? Yes! Right? I have food problems. I still think about Paris everywhere I go. I'm like, well, this isn't like Paris. It ruins you after you go eat there. Okay. So let's dive in. You guys, there's a lot of stuff facing us we're going to dig in today. This is a huge, huge problem. And yet very few people are really doing anything intentional about it. Right? You think it's accurate? We talk about it. You hear people talk about it. We tell our kids, don't do that. We take them to church. We do the things. And yet the problem persists, doesn't it? You with me? I'm going to be frank here. We're gonna talk honest. And this is a gigantic problem. I would confidently, comfortably say a vast majority of people have some kind of addiction that's holding them back. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay. In the church?
Yes.
Homeschoolers?
Yes.
No. Even in this group of seriously awesome people, we're still struggling with this, aren't we? This is a real deal. Okay. Of the men and young men that they surveyed, close to 80% of them admitted to viewing pornography regularly. And from everything I can gather with people who are working with programs in the church and bishops and stake presidents, over 50% of active men and young men have a problem with porn. Active ones. You know what makes this really uncomfortable? That statistic probably holds true for this room. And our hearts, and our love, and our compassion go out to those of you who are struggling with that, because it's a big deal. And it's real, and we're going to talk about it. Okay? Please don't get caught up in despair. There is hope. Okay? I'm going to tell some stories and give some tools, and we're going to talk about this, but it's a gigantic problem. It's got to be addressed in a bigger way. With me? Yeah? You agree? Is it worth doing whatever it takes? Yeah? Okay. I feel nervous about what I'm going to have to tell you guys. Okay, so you look at the studies. They're looking at youth. Youth are spending an average, teenagers are spending an average of 9 hours a day looking at a screen. Isn't that insane? It's crazy. Like, who's got time for that? But what's interesting is you're like, I'm getting on to do my homework, or I'm getting on to look up something, and 2 hours later, you're watching cat videos on YouTube, right? You're like, what was I doing? You see what I'm saying? And they, like, if you stop them and you say, hey, you realize you spent 7 hours today looking at your screen? They're like, what? You're like, do you want to do that? No. But that's happening. As a general rule, girls are turning to social media, boys are turning to video games. Okay? As far as some of the nastiness, it is no longer a matter of if, but when. Will you please settle that in your minds? Your children and you and your spouses will be exposed to nasty things, especially pornography. True? It is not if, okay? When you're teaching your kids, like, don't say to them, hey, if you ever see this, don't, like, that's not even a phrase anymore. Like, when you see pornography, we're going to set up some action steps, some tools. We're going to give you some resources. You will be exposed. Okay, now, our generation, we grew up in the when we were young, right? How did you get access to pornography? It was through the magazines or, like, a VHS. And, like, you had to, like, sneak somewhere to get a hold of that stuff. It's available everywhere, and it'll pop up on the internet, especially when you're not even looking for it. Like, they're attacking youth and people, right? I was 8 years old, 8 or 9, went over to a friend's house, and we'd built a fort in his backyard. Went over and went to the fort. I went over one day. He's like, you go check it out. It was awesome. We walk in there. He covered the entire inside of the fort with pornography. I'm like, what the heck? He's like, oh, my dad gave me all his old magazines. Okay, now at that age, I was like, that's weird. Now looking back, I'm like, holy cow! His dad had a gigantic problem, and he's like, here, son! Like, this is insane! And I was that age getting exposed to it back then. Like, it's, your kids are going to be exposed to it. Okay, it's going to happen. So, like, again, my question today, again and again and again, is what are you going to do about it? Well, we'll keep going to church, and we'll tell them not to look. Is that working? No, and I don't mean to be rude or inappropriate, but, like, I'm going to be honest with you. The little things we're doing aren't working. If it was, this would be stopping. Excuse me? You guys still love me? I love you. This is all with love. This is all with love. I'm going to be very honest today. So, oops, I left the title in there. Train wrecks. Here's what I think is one of the biggest problems. Every week, I see the train wrecks at the end of the tunnel. Every week. Can you imagine getting a phone call or an email or a message every single week from someone whose life's being destroyed by addiction? And every time, well, let me tell you some stories. I got a call, this was probably a year or two ago, get a call, wonderful, wonderful woman, she calls and she's like, Greg, my son just attempted suicide. Can you help? What happened? He hated himself because he has a hardcore addiction to porn. How did that happen? He had a hardcore addiction to video games. Give me some backstory. Well, my husband and I just recently got divorced because he had a hardcore addiction to porn. And I started to see all of these little checkpoints along the way. And I started to see all these markers that were leading to these disasters. Do you know how I started noticing? That was the first time it like popped on my radar. I'm like, whoa, what? And I started asking, every time since then, I've started asking these young men, where was the transition to the pornography addiction? They almost without exception say it was video games. And I was like, oh, it must be pretty bad video games. What video games was it? And it was Minecraft. I call it Minecraft with a P. Minecraft. Okay, now I share that with groups like this, and they're like, you're such an extremist. Video games aren't harmful. I'm like, you don't see what I see. So I'm sorry if that's not popular. But almost without exception, it was an addiction to video games before the addiction to porn. And in that case, it was simply a matter of body change to adolescence. I was interested in games, now I'm interested in girls. You with me? I get to see this all the time. Okay, so what's missing? Life preparation is missing. And I shared this yesterday with the group. We don't rise to the level of our expectations. We fall to the level of our training. So what kind of training is an absolute must in our homes, you guys? What kind of training? We have to be giving them the training. And again, this is for ourselves, for our spouses, for our children. What kind of training is an absolute must in our homes? Okay, self-regulation, self-control of some kind. Yes, I agree. That still is vague, right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, we got to have some self-control and we got to regulate. Yes. We should.
Yeah.
We all feel like we should. Yeah. Right. You're like, yeah, we should do that. What does that mean? Good routines, good habits. We're going to spend a lot of time there today. Okay, that's so big. You guys, every one of us, okay, we're going to come back to this. Let me make this absolutely crystal clear. We are all creatures of habits, and we all have habits right now. The stories we tell ourselves sometimes right now is like, they're like, oh, I don't have the habit of going to the gym. No, actually, you have a habit of not going. Okay, we have habits. Everything we do is by habit. So we tell, well, I don't have that habit. No, you have this habit. We've got to make sure we have those habits and routines in place. Let's keep going. Other things that are must, trainings.
Learning
how to have access to the power of the Holy Ghost. We have got to get serious about our relationship with the Holy Ghost and the Spirit. And the difficulty with that, as you all know, is that He whispers. I wish He would yell. I wish He would grab me and beat me. He's going, don't do that. Okay. No, but He's just like, don't do that. And it's the noise. You guys, the noise is so loud in the world, isn't it? It's like we're all living on the Las Vegas Strip. It's like just lights flashing and it's so loud and so overwhelming. It's incredibly difficult to hear the whisperings, isn't it? You with me? Did you have your hand up?
I did. Willingness to pleasant.
Okay, a willingness to be uncomfortable, to do hard things, to not, that's called buffering. We're going to come back to that. We get uncomfortable and we buffer. Boom, every one of us does it. We turn to these buffers, right? Like, oh, I'm going to avoid that. As we turn to those things, that's one of the greatest causes. So we've got to be willing to get comfortable being uncomfortable. That's one of the main messages I teach my mentees. Get comfortable being uncomfortable. Couple more.
Real
hard work. Nice.
I love that.
Whoa, right, guys? Just that mental framework right there. You can't hold your phone if you're using both your hands. So every one of us right now can be like, what can we be doing as a family where both hands are required? Like, I'm dead serious. I'm dead serious. You're out doing this epic adventure. You don't have your phone out. Like, when I take kids to, like, we go do these awesome, cool stuff. You either go somewhere so far there's no signal. You're like, sure, you can bring your phone. Whatever. Or like we're ziplining. You're holding on for dear life as you're crossing this jungle and they're like, hey, I got a notification. Like, no. Like, you're so engaged, it doesn't come out. I love that. Love that mindset. Can't you see? all these people with their heads and their hands hanging down just in despair. I got to see it face to face every day.
Break someone who's 22 years old who has chosen to move into your home.
Like literally break them? Maybe that'll help.
Because she's been in her home just long enough where she can't do drugs, she can't smoke, she can't drink, and she has seen that she's clear of mind in this environment, but she's still like solidly addicted. I know it's like piece by piece, but how do I tell her, shout, put your freaking phone down.
If you tell her that, will it work?
No. It might. I mean, for a short period of time.
Right. Occasionally, you can get right in their face and be like, stop, turn it off. And they're like, yeah. Or they're like, no. And they're like, okay, yeah. But there's got to be long-lasting change. And from her life, being exposed to that stuff, that may be a buffer for her. It may be like a comfort thing.
Right.
And so we've got to replace that. We're going to get into all this. This is good. Isn't this stuff great? Okay, we can go all day on this thing. Let's two more.
I was just going to say, I think part of the problem is kids are not learning how to deal with their emotions.
Yes.
They're like, oh, I'm upset.
We're buffering again because we don't want to be uncomfortable. Yeah, any emotion, and we're going to talk about that. We got to get through that because that's a big problem. We are turning to our devices to compensate for this lack of connection. We're going to get to that too. Thank you. Yeah, this is so awesome. So again, we do not rise to the level of expectations. We fall to the level of training. Please know you, your spouse, your children will fall to the level of the training. When they're exposed to addiction and trouble and trial and challenge and uncomfortable emotions and uncomfortable experiences and all the junk that life sends at us, we will fall to the level of our training. And so look to your home right now. If I could sit down with each of you and just get a crystal clear glimpse of the training that's happening in your home, I could point out within a few minutes the level of your fall. That's sobering, isn't it? Within moments. Because I've been doing this so long with so many thousands of families. Just take a look at the training and say, okay, here's your fall level. And I think some of you would be shocked to see how far that would be. Now, I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty. I hope you celebrate where you are and the good you're doing and the awesome things. You're amazing, okay? And I mean that. But some of us just need to level up our training. Are we okay with that? Is that okay statement?
Yeah.
We've got to level up our training. Please.
How do you train your children when you have not been trained at all? You have no emotional regulation. How do I train my children when I can't even regulate myself?
Thank you. Thank you so much for saying that so I didn't have to. Okay? It's all your fault! She asked, how do you regulate your children if you never learned how? And that's my message all the time with parents. Look, and this is what I was about to go, so it fits perfectly. You guys, computer programming, okay? I can't do it at all. I stink at computer programming. Does that make me a bad person?
No.
No, I can't play golf. Does that make me a bad person? No. If you don't have the skill set to train your kids, does that make you a bad person? No, please separate that. You are great people. Some of you just stink at the one thing. God, sorry. I wish I could hug all of you and be like, you just are terrible at that. And you're terrible at that. Like, it's okay to be incompetent, right? How many of you are incompetent? It's something important. All right, those of you who didn't raise your hand, you're incompetent at admitting you're incompetent. You with me? We gotta level up our training. We have to. Sorry. Because I see the bad side of this, I get so passionate about this. And it's hard. It's hard if you're not in it. You're like, no, things are going well. Like, you're a little intense, Greg, a little intense. I'm like, it's because you don't know what's coming, right? I'm like, oh. Like, we've got to get serious and make some huge, extreme changes in our lives. You guys excited for this? We're just getting warmed up, okay? Albert Gray said, if you do not deliberately form good habits, then you will unconsciously form bad ones. Memorize that. Have your children memorize it. Every one of my kids, down to our little 8-year-old, probably my 5-year-old, could say that quote. They've all memorized it, and the rest of the quote. Okay? That comes from an essay called The Common Denominator of Success. Read the whole thing again and again and again. Get it to your kids. Memorize the whole thing. And when your kids and their brains are filled with things like this. If I do not deliberately form good habits, then I unconsciously form bad ones. It's called the Common Denominator of Success by Albert Gray. Okay, now unconsciously, this is important right here. Okay, any of you read the book The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg? Okay, awesome. What is he saying there about habits and addictions? They literally become unconscious. You get to this point where you just do them. And you sit down with somebody and you're like, you're destroying your life. And they're like, I know, I'll never do it again. And on Monday, they do it again. You're like, what were you thinking? And they're like, I don't know. I wasn't. Because it becomes unconscious. And so we've got to fill our lives with deliberate good habits. Are you doing that? Are you crazy intense about it? I'm about to get crazy here. Even to the neglect of academics. Ooh. Whoa. How many of you know someone who's academically amazing and has habits that are destroying their life? I know hundreds. And at the end of the day, which one would you value more? I'm serious, I'm asking, which one do you value more? Habits? Are you honest? Yeah. Are you just saying that because I'm asking you? Like, I'm not saying academics. I'm serious. Which one do you value more?
Good habits.
Are you proving that with your actions? Yeah. We're trying. Right? Academics, you said it? Yeah. Okay, you with me? Yes. But you guys, at the end of the day, why are we homeschooling? Because we want our children to be successful adults, right? Is that not it? Like, long-term, end result? We need like 3 hours for this presentation. What are the causes? What's causing addiction and distraction in our homes? And just a side note here, distraction is just as bad as addiction if it gets the same result. You with me? Okay, what's causing it?
Peer pressure.
Ooh, lots of peer pressure.
Lack of knowing
who we really are. Okay, yes, a lack of identity. You guys, as I've studied personal development and worked with people all over the earth, there is a direct link between identity and behavior. I can see that in every kind of person. You sit down a few minutes with them, say, who do you think you are? Like, who do you genuinely in your heart believe you are? I can tell you how you're going to behave. It is directly tied, identity to behavior. Who you think you are, who you believe you are, who your youth believes they are, and they know their identity, it's going to be directly tied to their behavior. Every time, without exception. Okay, I'm going to hit some, we can hit some more, and we will. I want to hit some of these. I think one of the biggest problems, we have too much free time. Now, I love free time. Okay, I love free time. I think there should be structured free time. I think our kids, some kids are so busy, they're literally just burning out because they don't have any free time. But then others have too much free time. And there's no structure. It's just free to do anything free. Okay, there's too much screen time, obviously. I'll come back to that in a minute from one of my friends who runs these failure to launch programs. There's way too much affluence. Sorry, friends. Y'all are way too rich. And you're like, not me. We only have 3 cars. We need 4. There's way too much affluence. And I love affluence, right? Be affluent. I hope you all make just billions of dollars. Don't give it to your kids. Please. Don't make everything comfortable and easy for them. You do them a gigantic disservice if you just give them everything so comfortably. Please help them suffer. I'm not kidding. I take my children and these groups that I lead, we go do ridiculously hard stuff in wilderness places or foreign places where there's no recourse, where there's no bailing out. There's no one there to take away your pain. It's my favorite thing ever. like the best part, right? You get to do a hike, a big adventure, and you get way back in the wilderness, and it exhausts you to no end, like more tired than you've ever been your whole life, and the only way you're getting out of that is to come back. And you literally have no choice. And I take people in there and they break down. They're sobbing. They're laying there. I'm going to die in this desert hole. And they cry and cry and cry. I'm like, okay, we can stay. I'll stay the night. I'll stay 5 nights. I'm cool. I want to go home. Oh, there's a trail. And then by the time they get back, they're like, dang, I can do hard things. Right? And it builds character. Please stop. Yeah, that'll do it.
You put that on paper, and like 60 miles of like a 11 and 12, like you would have thought they'd come back like, oh my gosh, they're now like, when can we do that again?
Yep.
I mean, they loved it.
Yep, because we're hardwired for it. You guys, it will transform you. That's why I do what I do. That's why I take these trips and do these challenges. Because in the moment, it's horrible. Anybody ever done a triathlon? Yeah, I've done 11 triathlons. Every single time, I was like, why do I do this? This is horrible. I'm like vomiting. My legs are filled like jello. I'm like, this is stupid. I cross the finish line. I'm like, ooh, when's the next one? It's sick, but when you do something hard, you feel alive. Okay, there's too much freedom. There's too little challenge. There's too little time outdoors. Get your kids outdoors, please. There's too little engagement with life. How many of you are guilty of being there but not really being there? Disengaged. You know what I'm talking about? You're like, oh, I'm here, but you're thinking about something else. You're looking at something else. You're totally disengaged. Too little goals. I know that's not grammatically correct, but too few goals, and the goals are little ridiculous goals. We've gotten into this day and age where we're like, do hard things. And they're like, hey, I'm going to memorize the alphabet. Like, come here, you little. Like, I'm talking crazy hard things. Now, we come back to this question of like, well, wait a minute, what if I don't know what hard things are? You don't. I love you guys. I love you so much. Very few of you in here know what hard is. And I know some of you don't like me saying that. But I still love you. Is that even remotely accurate for any of you? Not you? Not me?
I know what hard is. Yeah.
You do?
I do.
Sweet. What?
What's hard?
Yeah. Watch this.
Hard is being 12 to 16, taking care of an invalid grandmother in your home with an abusive stepfather who locks the fridge in the pantry where you cannot eat unless he's home.
Awesome.
And then almost losing a child. That's hard.
That is very hard. And what did you gain from going through that?
So much strength.
Are you, watch this, are you grateful that happened to you?
Yes, all of it. And I tell teens all the time when they complain to me about the fact that their tablets aren't working.
Right. That's what I'm talking about right there, friends. Yes. I've seen things and experienced things, my friends, that I wouldn't wish on an enemy. But I'm grateful for every one of them. I walked through hell. And if I was given the choice to do it again, I'd volunteer this time. We've got to do hard things. Now, I'm not saying kick your kids out, okay? What I'm saying is put your arm around them and be like, I love you so much. We're going to do something epic, and it's going to be hard. Are you in? I love doing this with my children. They look at me and they're like, I'm afraid of how hard it's going to be, Dad. But I'm in. Ooh.
What about when they're not? My 15-year-old, like, a hard thing that I think incorporates a lot of this is to do his Eagle Scout project.
Great.
He went to Haiti. He went to an orphanage. He did hard stuff, but now he won't write it up. He won't finish the merit badges. You know, and if he did, he would be engaged. He would be outdoors. He'd be challenged. But
yes.
What do you do when they're just like, I don't care. I don't, like, want to do it.
Fantastic. Great question, right? So how do we get them to actually engage? How do we get them to opt in? Because they need to opt in. If we force them to do it, I mean, they'll get some benefits. But if they opt in and they do it, they get huge benefits. How do we get them to opt in? We got to be tactful about this, and there's a whole strategy. And, like, part of it is this conversation you have. Like, well, should you care? Do you care? Like, okay, if you don't ever get your ego, what do you care? And if they're like, honestly, I don't care, okay, let's do something else. But if they're like, get ahead, jump ahead in life, are you going to regret not doing that? I'm like, well, yeah. So do you want to do it? Yeah, I just don't want to do that, but I do want to do it. Do you really? Yeah. Yeah. Are you willing to put rewards and consequences in place? Ooh. Yeah? Okay, pick a horrible consequence. And they sign. They write it up and they sign it. Pick an awesome, epic reward. All right. You take me to whatever they want to do. And this is where you're like, that's going to cost me $300 for that. Deal. So, like, if you don't do it, this is the consequence you signed. If you do it, I'm going to take you to have this epic experience that you want to have. And I'm coughing up the money for it. Are you willing to do that? Write it down. All of a sudden, there's motivation. You with me? Get them to see the big picture. Because right now, all he can see is the tasks, and he doesn't want to do that. Hashtag not worth it, right? But we got to get some stuff. Okay, we got to keep going here. So my friend, I told the group about these failure to launch programs. Failure to launch programs are basically for 18 to 20 whatever year olds where they literally just failed to launch as adults. They're all over the place. They're popping up. They can't even keep them. They can't build them fast enough because kids are failing to launch. My friend's been running one for 10 years now. He wrote this 5 years ago, and I want to share it with you. 10 years, he runs his in Costa Rica. They charge between $10,000 to $15,000 per month for these failure to launch programs. This is what he said. He says, look, I've been working with young adults with depression and anxiety for 5 years. It's been 10 now. He says, the professional I work with in this field are constantly warning, even begging parents to monitor and limit screen time. He's like, I don't have kids yet. He has twins now. They're adorable. So I can't judge, but he says, can some of you parents out there shed a little light on really why really caring, loving, intelligent, responsible parents are allowing their kids to spend hours and hours of uninterrupted time on their screens?
Easier to have to be that way and try to work on something else.
You hear what she said? It's easier to have them do that while I'm trying to do something else. How many of you have done that? I'm raising my hand too. Is it worth the exchange rate? There is an exchange rate for every single thing we do. And we choose easy now, but we've got to be careful what that's going to cost us down the road. Does that make sense? Every 3 to 5 years, our world is going to just change drastically now. It's getting so fast. It used to be 20 years, 10 years. Every 3 to 5 years now, we're going to have massive changes in our lives. We're going to be dependent on things in 5 years from now that don't exist today. Isn't that awesome and scary? How do we prepare our children? How do we? Her question was, like, we grew up, our parents raised us this way, but we didn't have to deal with this. So if we try to raise our kids the same way that we were raised, will it work?
No.
No. We've got to get crazy diligent about making the changes. And I'm going to share some things about that today. How many of you, just right in your neighborhood, every family in your neighborhood is epic, awesome, you like, these are your best people ever? Yeah, me neither. We've traveled the whole earth looking for this little community. Haven't found it yet. Awesome people are spread out everywhere. And to stay connected with them and to have your kids connected with their awesome friends, they're using technology. Good thing? I think so. Risky?
Yes.
Yeah. So you got to decide, like, is this going to be a part of our life? And it has to be for us because we're so mobile. Like, my kids literally have friends all over the earth, and I want them to keep those friends. So do they spend time on their devices connecting? Yes. Does it go too long? Every time. Give me it. But I want them to do it. So I'm like, I take it, and then I'm like, give it back here, connect with your friends, and give it back. And I have to be more diligent about regulating that. That's more work on my plate. Worth it?
Yes.
Yes. Are there things I miss out on because I'm doing that? We turn to buffers, okay? Buffers are anything you're trying to avoid. Addictions happen a lot because of buffers. Like, it's an uncomfortable emotional situation. It's something you don't like about yourself. It's an insecurity. It's a conversation I need to have. You're like, there's something going on. We need to have this conversation. It's really uncomfortable. I'm going to turn on to my device. And you do too, right? And you're like, well, I'm going to go out and do this. And I'm going to do this. And we turn to our buffers because we're avoiding things. And we model it as parents. We turn to our buffers, and what do the kids do? They turn to their buffers. But how many of us are training our children to sit with the discomfort and say, this is really awkward, isn't it? This is really uncomfortable, isn't it? It's awesome. I do it all the time. I do it on my trips, too. In fact, we have this activity. Watch this. You guys are actually really good at this, though.
What?
So we have an activity.
Okay.
We do like this. And we get across from a stranger. You're really good at this. And we hold eye contact. And then we touch hands. It's a total stranger, you guys. And once you get past this level of discomfort, then we say, share something you're insecure about.
Oh my goodness. You made me look away.
Yep. And I do that with youth. Holy cow. You know what that does? It's awesome. Every trip I take, I make him, I just challenge him physically, emotionally, spiritually, socially. Which one did I miss? Mentally. I challenge him in all those things every time. Ooh, they get uncomfortable. It's so good for them. I had this mentee that was, he was kind of socially, he was uncomfortable. I took him one day, and we were in a grocery store or something. I'm like, and there's a bunch of young women. I'm like, pick the, which one do you think is the prettiest? He's like, that one is pretty. I go talk to her. No, do it now. Okay. He walked over and talked to her, and he came back. He's like, I did it, man. I did it. I talked to her. It was awesome. Right? You just do these things. You help them process all this stuff, because if they're always turning to a buffer and they create a habit around buffers, what are they going to do for the rest of their life? Anything uncomfortable pops up, buffer. How many of you do that? You people are guilty. And I love you. We all do it. And we're all guilty and we're all weak, aren't we? But can we improve? Yes. Can we create a new life? Yes. Huge problem in marriage. If you're emotionally divorced but still together, which I get phone calls like this all the time, will this lead to addiction and distraction and buffering? Yes. You better believe it. Will your kids notice? Yes. Yeah, will they learn how to interact?
Yes.
In the wrong way. The training they'll get will be the wrong training. I'm just checking for youth. I got a heart-wrenching phone call 2 weeks ago. I think today might be her 15th anniversary. She and her husband haven't had sex since their 10th anniversary, and it was a bad experience. Do you think he has a problem? Mm-hmm. Yep. Do you think it's compounding? Yes. Yep. That marriage is dead, and she doesn't want to revive it. Did she get married hoping that would be her dream marriage? Did she dream it would be like this? My friends, and we have, like, yes?
Tools.
Okay, there's six human needs. We're gonna go. So every human has to have certainty, variety, significance, love and connection, growth and contribution. If you don't have these, sorry, I want to cover them all. If you don't have these, they will be satisfied in some other way. If you don't have this in your marriage, if you don't have this in your home, then you turn to an addiction to try to get it. And it's a fraud. It's like fake. It's shallow, it's superficial, but they're trying to get these needs met. Okay? So what do we do about it? Oh, here's interesting. Porn addicts often admit to feeling lonely, bored, disconnected, or insecure. If anyone in your family is feeling lonely, bored, disconnected, or insecure, you've got to do something to replace those feelings, or they'll always turn to something else. You know, does that make sense? Like, and I can't give you all the ways to do this, but you have to sit down and get serious about this with your family and say, like, this has to happen. Like, what are we going to do to make sure in our family we're not lonely, bored, disconnected, or insecure? Now, sometimes boredom's good because they, like, turn to books instead of devices or whatever. But like, you've got to make sure we're not feeling this way and be deliberate and intentional about it. Oh, man, you guys. All right. I was 16. I was on my own, okay? Absolute, total freedom. I was accountable to nobody but God. I didn't have a single soul telling me what to do, when to come home, no curfew, no nothing. I lived in the hood. The house I lived in, it might as well have been a brothel. Drugs, alcohol, sex, violence, crime, everything offered. I had women constantly offering me, asking me to have sex with them. And drugs offered, alcohol offered. I had it all right there in front of me and not a single person to tell me no. Not a single person to say there's going to be consequences for that. Nothing. That's like the worst. Can you imagine a worse scenario? I'm like, put my child right there. I'm like, you got this. I didn't touch a single thing. I never had a drink of alcohol. I never had drugs. I never had a cigarette. I never did anything immoral. I didn't touch a single thing. Why? Because I had purpose. I had passion. I had direction. And I was hungry. I wanted happiness so bad that I spent all of my time doing things that would get me out of that hole. How do we create that hunger in our kids? I know, and I want to tell you. She says, I have no idea. And I want to tell you, but somebody keeps holding up signs. It's not your fault. I love you. What will happen if you don't take this seriously? You'll fail. And I'm dead serious. Okay? What will happen if you do take it seriously and you make massive transformations in your family? Success. What's this worth to you? I'm dead serious. What is this worth to you? I'm dead serious. What's it worth to you?
Everything.
Is it? Do you own a TV?
It's not connected.
Yeah, the boy. Woo! Don't connect it. If you have a TV problem in your home, are you willing to throw away your TV? I know you guys are. This is the best group. If you have a problem looking at pornography on your phone, are you willing to stop having a phone? I'm dead serious. Yeah, get a dumb phone. Yep. You can? Even on a flip phone? Stupid flip phone. What about like those Nokias that like there's like no screen? Okay, I made this commitment when I was 16. I literally made it to myself. I will do whatever it takes. If I ever have a problem with something, it's gone. If I have a problem with TV, I'll never have a TV, which we don't have a TV. If I ever had a problem with, if I found myself, how Greg Denning was tempted to look at pornography on a screen, I would not have a screen in my life. Period. Done. If I ever got on for any reason, my child would be there with me. That's the kind of level we have to move to, friends. We're like, yeah, I should stop that. And then we're up at night looking on for just something. I won't look. I just am looking for some bull. I can tell you story after story after story. When are you going to get serious? I love you guys.
I want to hear about what you do. How does this work in your life?
Come on! Okay, I made this commitment for my family. I said, if any of my children ever have a problem, I literally, legit, no questions asked, will take that child and go live on Mount Kilimanjaro. And I would. And we have. We spend thousands of dollars every year making sure we and our children are having experiences that are incredible. Can we afford to do that? We can't afford not to do it. You think it's expensive and hard to prevent this? Try failure. Try recovery. We will do, yeah, your question is, what do? We will do anything. Whatever it costs, whatever it takes, whatever amount of difficulty, we will do everything. Because James Allen said, we're willing to change our circumstances, but we're unwilling to change ourselves. We therefore remain bound. And so we do everything in our family, you guys, to make it go. We do everything. Prevention is our best protection. So this is from The Anatomy of Peace. Like helping things go right, right? You fix things that are wrong, but helping things go right. Like every effort, everything you can do to help things go right. Throw away your TV. Don't ever allow video games in your home. And now I'm getting extreme. And I know this is unpopular. Like get rid of devices if you have to. Like spend thousands and thousands of dollars. Drain. I'm not a financial advisor. Drain your savings account so your kids have experiences that transform them. I've done that. Many times, and I will do it the rest of my life. And as of right now, my kids are rock solid, and we're protecting ourselves. And when your life's that full of good things, there's no room for junk. You can start right at home. You guys, this just takes creativity and work. So you need to sit down today with your spouse, with your kids, be like, epic things. What can we do right here? What's free? What's cheap? What's big? We're going to plan a big one. We're going to do a big one. We're going to sacrifice for big, epic things. But what can we start doing right now? What are major pattern interrupters? Garbage in, garbage out. You got to have input. Bread and circuses. Oh, yes. Books. Time habit. Ah! Can't be casual about it. Like, I was looking for something else. But, like, you just have to be so intense about the pattern interrupters. Okay, you've got to do something to break the pattern. Whatever it is, and it's got to be extreme. You do something you've never done before. Do something different. Do something like whatever. You have to have a pattern interrupter because we get in these patterns and we're stuck in these patterns and we can't get out of them. Right, because it's unconscious.
For example.
A backpacking trip. 60 miles.
Do you do those with your littles?
Yes. Who carries them?
How little?
Babies. We took our five-week-old on a camel into the Sahara. That's right, girl. Boom. Okay. When we go hiking as family, guess who carries the most? Nope. Mom's like, I ain't going. You don't have to carry her. I'm like, I'll carry you. Will you come? She's like, I'll come if you carry them both. Okay. We did a five-mile trip. I carried three kids out. Okay. We hiked to Angel's Landing. I had two kids on. Two. You know how hard that is? It's crazy hard. It was harder than that. I was dying, okay? I'm just sitting there like, gosh, I'm sweating. My legs are burning, trembling. And my other children, what are they doing?
Laughing.
They're laughing, but they're looking at Dad going, he is tough. He's willing to do crazy hard things. I want to be like my dad. My 12-year-old daughter, she says, in between practice, she does aerial silks. She says, I get out and I do push-ups in between practice as well when I was resting because I want to be like my dad. You've got to lead out. Okay? How many of you feel like you're drinking from a fire hose and you want way more? Change nothing and nothing changes. But like, you've got to do these epic things. You've got to get mentors. You got to do this stuff. And okay, let me end with this. Please don't get discouraged. Joseph Smith told, I think it was George Albert Smith. He said, look, If I was buried in the deepest pit in Nova Scotia and the Rocky Mountains were piled on top of me, I would not get discouraged. And eventually I would come out on top. Have that kind of grit, that kind of determination, that kind of hope. Don't get discouraged. Just keep fighting. Keep taking action. Please, 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 I'm begging of you. Whatever you do, don't do nothing. Because if you do nothing, nothing will change. And if we don't take this crazy seriously, like drastic, massive changes in our families and our lives, the problem will persist and only get worse. In 5 years from now, the porn problem, the addiction problem is going to be worse. Anxiety will be worse. Depression will be worse. Suicide rates will be higher. I promise you, that's the trend. And unless we do something, we'll be part of the trend. So reach for it. Live for it. Seek the help. Invest. Do whatever you have to do. Pay whatever you have to pay. Make any sacrifice you have to make. Like drastically change your life and your habits, everything, for your benefit of you, your marriage, and your children. And it's worth every cost. You got this. Okay. Love you guys. Reach upward.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.